I'm going to say the set-aside prayer, and I apologize to those listening on the podcast. I've got a bad cold or something, who knows, but I'm going to live. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we had finished to page 85, and I did step 10 in two talks, and I usually take three. And pages 83 to 88 are really what I live on. 88 tells me I'm a tornado. I've ruined the lives of people around me. I don't want to live that way anymore. That's what happens when I run the show. On page, that's 82. On page 83, it tells me there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. A remorseful mumbling that I'm sorry won't fill the bill. Anybody agree with that? And it talks about with the family every morning, I need to ask God to give me love, patience, and tolerance, and show me the way of that with everybody I meet, especially the family. And then it says the spiritual life is not a theory, on page 83, in italics. And what does it say? We must live it. And so the whole point of the steps is not to collect coins, but to live a spiritual life. And if I'm living a spiritual life, I won't drink. I mean, God's not going to allow me to drink. Now, I don't have a choice over drinking today. Anybody else do? No, because that would be my power. But I do have the power to seek that one who gives me choice, which is God. So I have to remember, God gives me the choice. I have to live the spiritual life with him, and then I don't have to drink. And also, I don't have to get angry. I don't have to get fearful. I don't have to make bad decisions. Anybody make bad decisions? I don't have to harm myself or anyone else anymore. Isn't that great? And then it says, that there are some people that we can't, our behavior will convince them more than words. So if you're in a relationship and you want everybody to forgive you, it's your actions that are gonna change them. They're gonna see the change in you. Now they may not change, we don't have any control over that, but your actions will show your change to everybody that you interact with. And it says, there's some wrongs you can never right. Don't you agree? Yeah. Anybody have regrets? I have regrets. And I don't regret the past because it's the key to my seeking God. I don't want to forget how bad it was. Chris, do you want to forget how bad it was? No, no. And so that makes me seek God all the time. And it says, when we go to people, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. Everybody see that at the bottom of 83? And with that, I need to be that way all the time, but especially when you're going to people who you've harmed. You need to go as a child of God, and it says, as God's people, we stand on our feet, we don't crawl before anyone. And that doesn't mean we become obnoxious and we're full of pride and we're full of ourselves. It just means that we don't keep paying the water bill every month, every day. So if you've harmed someone and they don't want to forgive you, that's their situation, but you have to clean your side of the street. And you don't keep apologizing because then you give them power. Remember, you're God's people. He's your power, not other people. Can we change other people? Anybody here change? No. No. Are there people in your life that probably should be changed? I think so, but I'm not sure, because I could be wrong. And they probably think I need to be changed. And they may be right. So, and I just spent a weekend with my daughter, and it's amazing as you get to be 73, and your daughter, and you have your grandkids, how you become the child. And I heard a lot of the things that that's wrong with me from my daughter. And my grandson says, well, Grandpa, you know, how'd this happen? You're supposed to be your dad. You're getting the same stuff I'm getting. I said, that's the way it is, Jackson. That's the way it is. And you know, it's cute. She loves me. She's great. And so it says, if you're painstaking about this phase of your development, the phase of your development means that you're trying to live the spiritual life. You're trying to practice and change your life. And you can't do that if you're on page one. You have to have done some work in steps 1 through 9, serious work, willing to go to any length, being honest as best you can, and do it. No work, no change. It doesn't say anything here about if you're painstaking about going to 90 meetings in 90 days. It doesn't say that. In fact, the big book doesn't talk about meetings at all. They're important. The fellowship is important. We can't do it alone. But what they're talking about is looking at your thinking seriously in steps 4 and 5, seeing your character defects, and I gave the card to the new people. And when we're on the left-hand side, I'm practicing my character. And when I'm on the right-hand side, I'm practicing God's character. Now, the purpose of starting the Oxford group was to practice God's character. They were all Christians. They all believed. They were all justified. But they didn't know how to practice God's character. And Norm used to say, the big book tells us how to be, and this book tells me how to do it. The big book, the Bible. And so that was the purpose of these steps, is to be in line with God and His character and His will. Anybody think that's a good idea? Yeah, my way didn't work. So try this way. And try to do everything up to page 83, and things have changed. See if things are changed. Now, we have these promises, although people call them the 9-step promises, who knows? But they're the promises when you have a relationship with God. And you can have these promises in the morning and they're gone at 3 in the afternoon. And so you're amazed how things are changing. You're amazed that you have a new freedom and new happiness, new way of living, new way of looking at your life, serving God and others, not yourself. And then I won't read them all because they're read at every meeting, but it says things just slip away. They just disappear. And your whole attitude and outlook upon life changes. Now that's a drastic change. Now on page 25, when they talk about there's a solution, do we have time to go back to that page? Can anybody count? Find out where it is. I'll see if my book's falling apart, so 25 is still there. It tells us two great facts. It says the great fact is this, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized my whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Now this is what they found that was the great fact from doing the work. Now you don't get this great fact on page 25. You get it on page 83 and 84 when you're experiencing God. So you have to do some work to get that. And then it says the central fact is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous, which is true. When I look back where I was the day I decided to surrender completely, I didn't decide, it was decided. I was surrounded and shot at and had to put the gun down. God's entered into, I can't even imagine being here today doing this, those days. And here it is, He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could not do for ourselves. And what are those things we couldn't do for ourselves? Those are the promises. We couldn't know serenity and peace. I had a feeling of uselessness and self-pity. I couldn't make it disappear. You get it? And then the thing it says, we suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. We have an experience of God working in my life. Anybody else have had that? We can talk about that when we open it up, if I don't go for 3 hours. That was a joke. Nobody laughed. I think they're filled with fear. Fear's like 66 and 67, so if you need to say those prayers. All right, stop it. And it says, are these promises extravagant? Well, they're not, because if you're with God, they're going to come true. They are being fulfilled among them. They had it fulfilled, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Now, what makes it slowly? Are some people more stupid than others? I think it's how fast you do the work. You do the work quickly, they get fulfilled. Because what you're trying to do is not get a degree. You're not trying to get a certificate. You're trying to enter the world of the Spirit. Now, what is the world of the Spirit? The world of the Spirit is where God is in charge. Now, that's where I was all the time. But I didn't know that. You know why? Because in my mind, I created another world where I was in charge. And I was running the show. And when I did that, I was full of fear and anger, and I harmed people, and I made a lot of bad decisions. Good job, Michael. Now, I didn't know how to leave that world and get into the real world. Does anybody else, when they come in here? No. But I've done the work, and now it says these promises will be fulfilled and materialize if I work for them. And then guess what? It says on page 84, we have entered the world of the Spirit. That's the world where you're with God, and He's directing your life, and you're serving Him. That's where I need to be all the time. Now, do you get a plane ticket and you get on an airplane that says World of the Spirit? No. It's a place where you are when you're with God. Now, we can separate from the world of the Spirit and get back into our world anytime. So it says, we suggest continue to take personal inventory. That means I need to look at my thinking. This is important on page 84, all the time, using the tools in 1 through 9, and continue to set right any new mistakes in thinking and action as I go along. So now I know that when I'm in fear, it's wrong. Why? It's not even true. It's a wrong belief, and I'm playing God. What about resentment? Resentment's a wrong judgment, and I'm playing God. And it's in the past. So I'm not living in the now, which is where the world of the Spirit is, with God in the now. Let me know if living in the now works better than living in resentment or fear. Of course it does. But we have to fight it all the time to get back into the world of the now with God. It's a simple program, but it's not easy to do. You see, because it's simple, Bill says simple but not easy, because what's required for the culmination of the steps, I have to destroy my self-centeredness. So when I'm in the world of the Spirit, I'm God-centered. And when I start to leave it, I'm in self-centered. Now the good thing is, if you do enough work, it takes quite a while to leave far enough away from the world of the Spirit where you have no relationship with God. Think of it as the world of the Spirit, in the center of it is God. He's a big magnet. And we are always trying to pull away from the magnet. And it takes a lot of self-centeredness and a lot to pull away completely once you've done all the work. But once you're out there, guess what? You don't have any power from God and you're in the liquor store. Or if you're not drinking, you're just miserable. Who wants that? So, as you clean up the past, you vigorously commence this way of living as you've cleaned up the past, and I vigorously commence living this way in the world of the Spirit, watching my personality all the time. There you go, Michael, you're judging again, you're full of fear. You know, Patty didn't start the dishwasher, oh my, you know. Get over it, Michael. You get it? It's pretty simple. It could come up all day long. We never get over that. It's in Scripture. This is a scriptural book. In Romans, he talks about the battle of the spirit and the flesh all the time. But we have a power now to fight that. We have the power of the spirit, and we're in his world. And so what we need to do in pages 84 to 88, I've always said I try to live on these pages. It's not complicated. It's 4 pages. Can anybody read 4 pages? How fast can you read it? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? If you live this, I guarantee your life will get better. When I don't live this, my life goes to crap. But I've done it long enough that I don't like being disturbed. Anybody else like that? No. There you go, Michael. Oh, the guy next to me in the airplane. Oh, he was taking up the armrest, you know, and I was like this crunched, and I'm thinking, oh, give me the prayers, God, keep me from, you know, because he was really, and then I just said, well, you know, instead of the prayers, I'll just say, you know, can I have a little bit of this armrest? And that happened within like 10 seconds, and he said, oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, then he kind of took it over again, but that was another story. That's why we have to keep doing it. You get it? It seems stupid. It's a stupid example, but it's just the way it is. So I want to live in the world of the Spirit. I want to grow an understanding and effectiveness of this world. That's what it's all about. How can I serve you better, God? How can I do your will better? How can I stay out of self? Help me. Because in the world of the Spirit, I have a power now. Margie read how it works. For those who don't have power, how do we achieve a power to live? Get to the world of the Spirit. I have to bring the cards I made of the world of Michael and world of the Spirit and do a meeting on that. It's on the site under Thoughts of Recovery, and it's also in the resources there. So in the world, I want to grow in effectiveness. I want to be better at serving God, and I want to know his will for me. And it's a lifetime matter. I know God's will better for me today, and I know better when I'm not doing it. And I'm getting more effective of stop doing what I don't want to do. Not all the time, people tell you, but it's a lot better. And it says it can continue for a lifetime. That's what these steps are all about. How do I live a spiritual life? How do I continue to serve God, live in his world, be more effective of carrying out his will? Implied there is how do I learn to live not doing Michael's will all the time, not separating from God, not practicing my character defects. So there's 5 instructions here. In this one, next 5 lines are how I live. I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I watch all the time. It doesn't say just watch on Monday or Monday morning. No, it's the rest of your life all the time. Why? Because my de facto state is self-centered. And then I have to go to God-centered. So I'm watching, and I have somebody to watch with now. Before, I watched with me. Now I can watch with God. Who's better to watch with, me or God? God. And so I watch with God and I call it the Holy Spirit. If you don't like that, that's okay, get over it. You don't have to believe what I believe. But I believe I have the Holy Spirit watching with me for when I separate from him. Now, the bad news is the Spirit will let me separate. But when I separate, I don't feel good. So I watch. So if somebody says to me, have a great day, I'm the only one who can ruin it. You get it? All my days should be good. All my days should be at peace. It doesn't mean I'll get what I want. That's not what this is about. This is about being with God, serving him, getting his peace, being able to handle situations with serenity, calamity with serenity. You get it? It doesn't change the circumstances of your life. It changes how you react to them. So we watch for that. How do you know when selfishness is cropping up? You don't feel good. You're critical. You're fearful. How do you know when you're being dishonest in your motives or dishonest in your behavior? You don't feel good. How do you know when you're being angry? That's pretty easy. You don't feel good. You're disturbed. How do you know when you're afraid? You don't feel good. You're anxious. You're disturbed. When these crop up, so I will wake up in the morning and I'm going to watch today with God. And when these crop up, now notice that the word is crop up, not harvest. It took me a while to pick that up. A harvest is a full-blown crop. We don't want to get our resentments full-blown. When these just start to spring up, if you go out west, you'll see the little green, beautiful green wheat. That's when we want to stop it. We don't want to wait till it's a big thing. And so with God, I watch for them, and when they crop up, it's very complicated. I don't know if people can do this. You may need to be like a nuclear physicist to understand this, but you ask God at once to remove them. It's so simple. Now, we don't do it all the time. Right, Andy? No. Andy knows. Ryan, we don't do them all the time, do we? No, Ryan, I get upset, I call Stu. Stu knows I don't do it all the time. But I want God to remove them. He has the power, I don't. See, if we're relying on myself to live in the world of the Spirit, do God's will, that won't work. I need God to do it. But I have to rely on Him and humbly do His will. And so at once to remove them. And you know what? It happens. Now, if it doesn't happen right away, I do the prayer again. Now, you know how to do that because you know the prayers for fear you've learned in step four. And you know the prayers for anger in step four. You just say them. And if you're tired of saying them, you just say, oh, I'm on the wrong side of the card, God. Take it away. And it works. And we can talk about how this works. We discuss them with someone immediately. So you have someone to call. Call them a sponsor, whatever you want. I don't know what the name is. But have somebody, friends in AA, somebody you could talk to, and you just call them up and say, wow, I'm upset about this. And they'll help you see it almost immediately differently. And then you make amends quickly. Why? You don't want to have a barrier between you and the world. And you just do it right away. So you can 911 someone, 911, you discuss them and you make amends quickly if you've harmed anyone. And then you get undisturbed. Then what do? You resolutely turn your thoughts. You've been in self or dishonest or fearful, whatever, and you're disturbed. You turn your thoughts immediately to someone you can help. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go to an AA meeting and find the new guy. No. You can help anybody in the world. Who's there? Who's right there? I get disturbed at work. You know, all sorts of crap's going on. Nothing's going right. I'd say the prayer, and then I'd say, who can I help? And I'd say, I'm just going to see the next patient right now. I'm not going to worry about the one at 3 o'clock. I'm just going to do what's right in front of me and stay close to God. And that worked really well. And I used to have this, we had a corner, and there was like a little thing that seals the corner. And when things got really bad, I was an oncologist, and things would get really chaotic some days. I would just hold that, and I would just close my eyes and just hold that and get centered with God, and then I'd just go see the next patient. Because I learned I don't need to worry about the 3 o'clock catastrophe that's coming in at 10 in the morning, right? I need to worry about the person who's there. And so that really helped me. Resolutely, not say, okay, resolutely turn my thinking to someone I can help. Love and tolerance of others is my code. And I didn't understand what tolerance meant for many years. Tolerance to me means no matter what they do, I don't have to get disturbed. That I'm going to build this shield. I was listening to the armor of God in Ephesians. I can put on the armor of God between me and the world, and I don't have to get disturbed by them. They can be disturbing, but I don't have to get disturbed. I have to love them and say, that's the way it is. Now, God, how do I react? So tolerance puts a barrier between me and what people are doing so that I can stop and react differently. And we're going to read that instruction on the bottom of page 87. But that's how I want to live, and loving others. It doesn't mean I have to approve of them or excuse them, but I have to be loving. I have to see them as a person of God, a child of God. How can I be loving? God loves me. I need to love them. And then here's the promises of this. Getting to this world of the Spirit. In the world of the Spirit, I've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, because now I have sanity. I can see the truth of it. I'm seldom interested in liquor. I'm tempted to recoil from it as from a hot flame. Now on page 24, it tells us that we kept putting our hand in the hot flame. Anybody else do that? Oh, let me try it again. Uh-oh. Burned again. And now we recoil from it. It's not something that has any power over me anymore. Isn't that great? I can recoil from it. We react sanely and normally, and guess what? This has happened automatically. It's not because I've gotten smart. It's not because I went to group and got self-knowledge. It's because I have a relationship with God, and I'm living in the world of the Spirit with Him. And I have a new attitude towards liquor. Guess what? It's been given me, and it comes without any thought or effort on our part. I opened the refrigerator yesterday, and I have 11 beers in there. I said, wow. I hadn't noticed them. They were been there for like 6 months. And they're still there. The beer doesn't have anything that can do for me. But it just happens. Did anybody else used to have 11 beers in your house and bother you? And think of, anybody have 11 beers in your house and think about them? And, oh, I got 11 beers. And no, nobody else? No. You're not alcoholics? We don't have any alcoholics here today for those who are listening. It comes. It's a miracle. We're not fighting it nor avoiding temptation. Isn't that great? And I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected from myself, my self-centeredness. Safe and protected. Position of neutrality towards the world. So like I could go to an AA meeting. That's a good place to go and practice love and tolerance. And there's always somebody there that's going to say something or do something. You say, oh. Well, no. That's who they are. And so I'm in a position of neutrality. I don't have to get disturbed by other people. I have to love them, right? And if I love them, my day's better. I don't care if they love me. That has nothing to do with it. I have to love them. The problem has been removed. It does not exist. We're neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. That is how I react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. Now, if I'm not in the world of the Spirit, excuse me, if I'm not watching with God, I'm not in fit spiritual condition, then it goes out the window. You get it? And so this is how you react, and you stay in fit spiritual condition by doing the instructions that we just went through on step 10 all day long. And then we're going to look at instructions in step 11, and that helps you stay in fit spiritual condition. Now, why is fit spiritual condition important? They're going to tell you. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Now, if you haven't done it at all, you're screwed. But if you've done it and you've given it your best shot, you don't want to let up on it. And rest on your laurels, which is your achievements. Why? Because alcohol is a subtle foe. Anybody agree with it? It's a mortal enemy. That's what a foe is. And it's a liquid in a stupid bottle. Now, how can it be a mortal foe? Because our mind wants what it thinks it can give us when I'm not in the world of the Spirit. When in the world of the Spirit, I have God. I don't need liquor. When my emotions build up, I go to God. When I'm not in the world of the Spirit, have a party. And you don't want to stay too long. If you come to AA, you don't want to stay too long without getting to this point. because you don't have any power yet over alcohol. And it says we have a daily reprieve. We're not cured. A daily reprieve means a stay of execution based on the maintenance of a spiritual condition. And it's a maintenance, a good maintenance. It's not just like, you know, keeping the car a little clean. It's maintaining a fit spiritual condition. And here's the key. Every day is a day. Can I go a few minutes longer today? All right. Every day is a day. I'm going to do it anyway. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will. Vision of God's character. How does God want me to be? And I said, love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate compassion towards my fellow human beings. That's my vision to carry into all my activities. I want to bring that. I don't want to bring selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, right? How can I best serve you, God? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, here's the key. Anybody here have a brain? We did. We didn't use it. And here's the deal. Here's where you get your brains back. These thoughts must go with me constantly. Carrying a vision of God's will for me, how can I carry out your will? And then I can exercise my will along these lines because it's in connection with God. So I want to get to the world of the Spirit. I want to be in His will. I want to carry His vision. And then I can use my mind all I want because it's connected to God. It's the proper use of the will. I don't know how they wrote these three paragraphs. They're so fantastic. It's such spiritual power. And it says, much has already been made about receiving strength, inspiration, direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed the directions in the book, I would suggest, up to this point, we've begun to sense God's power. We're having a spiritual experience. We have a relationship with God. We have trust in God. We have true faith in God. To some extent, we have become God conscious. That's the goal. Now, we were agnostics when we came in because we can believe in God, but we never let Him work in my life. I didn't have any knowledge of His power. I didn't trust God. I trusted me. Anybody else do that? To some extent, we've become God conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. And then we're going to pick up on step 11, which is how we use prayer and meditation in combination and inventory in combination with what we just covered in two pages to live the spiritual life. So, I'll close with that, and we can open up. People can talk about how this applies to their life.